Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Roll Route, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. And it seems like those issues are growing faster than friendship bread. Jay Truitt joining us from Texas. Andrew Henderson from the belly of the beast, just north of London, UK. I just wanted to set him off, you know, right out of the chute, Jay. You know, kind of like, yeah. I marked him out of the chute.
Right. Spurs perfectly over the point of his shoulders. Yeah, and
exactly.
Back.
Exactly. No penalty for not marking him out of the chute.
No.
The belly.
The center of the world, that's fine by me.
Yeah,
I said the belly of the beast.
Yeah, I think the funny thing is before we got on air, right? Trent and I were, and you were having to redo your setup, Andrew. Trent and I were having a discussion about, and literally, I don't want to like speak out of turn here, but the discussion was, I wonder how long it is before people realize that the government is just not their friend. Right. I mean, just generically, and that in truth, they may be the enemy generically. And I'm not an anarchist. I'm not that guy. Right. That's not me. I believe we can have civil guidance, et cetera, and all those sorts of things. But, the modern world did kind of learn how to govern from London. We like to claim Rome or Greece or something else, but truthfully, most of our international law, international banking, international maritime criteria, et cetera, was developed in London. And I kind of feel like I have a unique tie to the country, but the reality is that the United States is basically just a spinoff of what was going on on Downing Street, really.
No, you're not gonna get away with that. Listen, you can't. No, you can't.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
two cannot get away with that.
It's all England's fault.
On the one hand, right, you have your own World Series baseball, your own World Series American football where you don't actually kick the ball. You have all sorts of things that you've made your own. And by goodness, as far as I'm concerned, government corruption, you've taken it to a whole new level. In fact, am I not right that Speaker Johnson, it's now known that he took huge money in bribes to get this latest deal through the Senate? Do you not believe that's true?
It wasn't a bribe.
Oh.
He took campaign contributions from a PAC that Jewish people fund and some other people in that part of the world fund.
I suggest that everybody go look at how their senators have received PAC money from the International Jewish Fund. It's very enlightening and discouraging at the same time.
So here's and I'll even give you the website that makes it easy for any
huge amounts of money, isn't it, Trent?
It is huge. Go ahead, Jay. I want the website, FEC.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody, here's a way to get around the FEC hurdles. It's a much easier website. They do a really good job of doing it. If you spend just about 10 minutes on it, you can sort through and find things that are fairly current, and it's opensecrets.org. Very good site.
Okay.
I've used it for 20 years now, and when it first started, it was kind of shaky, but the truth is they do a very good job, and when you open up the page, the first thing that you see is that you can search lobbyists, industry and interest groups, elections fundraising data, or candidates and office holders themselves. And there's a lot. everything that goes into the FEC automatically populates on here. And what they do for you that's pretty interesting is they will sort it so that you can see it categorized out. And for most people, if you open up an FEC page and you get that, you download their data, it's honestly, it's kind of almost overwhelming. And you about half the time you can't really find what you're looking for. And it just takes days and days to really sort through it and analyze it. This does that. They run that interface for you so you can sort it in various industries. I think they've got it broken down into about 20 or 30 industries. And it makes it really quick and easy. And again, there's also a couple places on every page where you can just enter a person's name. Go in and enter my name and you can find out how long it's been since I've given money to anybody in government, right? Or whatever you want to do. Because I quit actually funding people that were running for office several years ago. But you can go find that, and you can find the check amounts that are for more than $250 or whatever the number is today. I think
it's supposed to be $250.
Yeah.
Is this website based in London then, or is it?
No, it's based in the U.S.
No, it's in the United States because they're good people. It's
because they're good people. Hey, I do want to put a disclaimer. I want to put a disclaimer on what Jay said. For anybody who actually goes to opensecrets.org and then starts looking at what their elected officials have been taking for campaign contributions, don't get dejected. There is still hope. We will overcome. It's mind-boggling what you learn.
Yeah, no, really it's one of the reasons why, I mean, I almost get defensive when people say that some huge campaign contribution can actually manipulate a member of Congress's perspective or something. And I mean, number one, at one point in my past, I was the person that controlled one of those big PACs, right? I understand how that part of the system works as well. What is almost impossible to understand until you really engage yourself in it is how much money floats through the political system. And so if someone, I mean, let's just say to win the presidency this year, that person probably will raise and spend something like $2 billion. A campaign contribution of $100,000 or $250,000 is a 0.00 something on that sheet. And so, it matters, and they will pay attention to the largest contributors. Yes, absolutely, right?
Can I just ask a question? This Speaker Johnson PAC money that you described, uh-huh. Didn't it just sort of materialize for him just before the votes?
Yeah, that's when you
just appear just before the votes and obviously change his mind.
That's probably, I would guess that almost every fundraiser in Washington, D.C. over the last month or so has been about raising money for people that were interested in Ukraine, Israel, Palestine, et cetera, all of the business there. Somewhere on the other side of this, you can find the Arab League supporters that all donated to people that didn't want that as well. There's an equal, I will almost promise you that that's not where the bulk of the money actually ended up. And you'll find Chuck Schumer probably got a couple hundred thousand in there as well, but you'll also find that AOC may have gotten.
But what do they do with that money? That's not to go out and they're not canvassing anything. They're just making a decision, aren't they? What do you do with it?
No, those funds are restricted very much so, and they can only be used for actual election purposes. There's very few things that they can do personally with that money.
What they do with that money is get their name in the media on a daily basis, because it's all about hearing that person's name. I might ask you, who's getting his name in the media every single day today without spending a dollar doing it? Oh, wait, he might spend quite a few dollars doing it, but that was all part of the plan. It is Roll Route, Jay Truitt, Andrew Henderson. I'm Trent Lewis. I want to remind you, Greg Hager continues to inspire not only this nation, but the world. He spent quite a bit of time in Japan, and he is going, I don't know if it's next week, we'll ask Andrew in a moment, but he's going to spend some time in the United Kingdom as well. He writes all of his own stuff, and the best part of Greg is that he maintains his Christian and country roots, and he brings it to life in song and lyric. Go to the website, greghager.com. Invite him to one of your events. You'll send me a thank you, greghager.com. We're back with more Roll Route after this. Welcome back, Roll Route, Trent Lewis, alongside Jay Truitt, Andrew Henderson. I'm walking through the political action committee requirements. I think that was a good move, Jay, to just kind of lay out that there are strict. And here's the other part of the deal, which I think is very troubling. If let's just say Mike Johnson, because we're talking about it. At the end of his term, if he were to go home to Louisiana and say, I'm done with this, and he had $1 million left in his, he can contribute that to another person's PAC.
Yeah. And actually, that's the vast majority of what Mike Johnson will end up doing with the money that he raises. Because for him to get elected in the state of Louisiana, he probably doesn't need more than maybe $1 million or $2. He's a really popular guy in his own district, so he doesn't need to spend it himself. Instead, he can donate. And he will donate all that money out to other members of his caucus that need funds to get elected. And really what people are doing when they donate the money to the speaker or the majority whip or whoever it is that they're saying, hey, you put it where it needs to go.
You go build your ball team. Go build your ball team. Here's the money.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really what's happening there. And sometimes it's also people like, as an example, in the past, when I worked for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, we never donated to Senator Santorum. And we did not because he was kind of out of Pennsylvania, a very conservative senator, but he also is a worked with the animal rights activists, believe there should be stronger federal laws about things, and tended to kind of fall on that PETA scale. And that was his big hole, but the state organization got to determine it. We would donate to a leadership PAC, and if it was really desperate for him, they probably gave some money to him, but that's a way for us to get around it. We finally quit donating to any of the leadership PACs as well. For exactly that reason, but we knew that would happen sometimes. And on death tax repeal, Senator Santorum was the bomb. He was one of the best. He carried that tax reform legislation as well as anybody, literally anyone. And so you if you think you're going to find a perfect politician, ask your wife if you're a perfect. Your spouse, if you're a perfect
spouse.
That's
not a fair analogy.
No, you're not going to find a perfect politician.
I was kind of humor, though, because you're talking about Rick Santorum. Well, you were talking about Paul. You're talking about Paul Slayton. And back in the day, I was working with Paul Slayton on a regular basis. And Paul was just torn by this because he's like, Trent, he's right in every area except this animal rights issue. Why can't he just get it?
Right. No.
Paul, go tell him.
I literally spent hours and hours, and I asked him one time if we could spend like a day talking about this one time, and he goes, well, I never get to take time off, but I'm going to, he wanted to go play golf at the country club that was right there where Kathy and I lived, and he said, let's just go play golf, and I promise you we'll start and stop We'll talk about it from the time we start till we stop. And it was like a 3.5 hour, 4 hour round, right? And we discussed every angle of it. And he just fundamentally disagrees. He believes that animals should be treated differently, right? And I don't know what to say. He's not a vegetarian per se.
Oh, you let him win.
Well, the truth is we had two guys with us that were way better than both of us. And so we really spent most of the time, we were playing a 4-man scramble. I don't know that he or I ever won really had a hit off the top of it.
So no, what Jay said is I certainly didn't beat him.
No, I didn't beat him, but my partner did beat him like a rented mule. But he's a good guy. I actually have admiration for him in other areas of his life, but in that particular circle, he's just wrong. Yeah.
Okay, I want to put another disclaimer out there. Because we're talking about a guy who supported animal rights, it is a joke that we beat a rented mule. Nobody beats rented mules anymore. Oh, that was what.
No. Can you even rent a mule?
I rent you a mule. I got a mule. I'll rent you.
Yeah. Sorry, I shouldn't use a pun talking about PETA people and beating a rented mule.
Oh, go on, yeah. Andrew.
No, Andrew, I thought you rented pigs. That was what you did very well.
Yeah.
No, we don't rent pigs. We don't rent pigs. I don't know how you can misconstrue that. It is fun to go back and look at those pictures of the Across the Pond tour, though. That was a great time.
Yeah. That was a good time.
Yeah, well, you didn't partake in enough of it, Jay. I'll just say that.
No, I did not. That was during a pretty troubling time in my life.
Yeah, no doubt it was.
Right?
Yeah. But the one you missed in Brush was probably the worst. Of course, Andrew met a friend in Brush that actually came to the United Kingdom after we were in Brush, and then Andrew just ghosted him, didn't even respond to him.
Did Andrew, like, owe him money? Or what was the deal?
Actually, we're picking on Andrew, right? And I think he's completely frozen up. Yeah. He's not participating.
So we,
he's going,
about him.
He tucked his tail and is running off like a rented mule.
It's all good. Back to this whole political thing, I think the most important thing for people to like look at government is to be honest about what you're actually seeing. Even when you hear what you want to hear, distrust it, test it, right? I mean, it's kind of like that for those people that are the religious among us today, test that prophet, right? Go test and make sure that their word that you can actually verify that. But it's a pretty common thing for people to say about anything that they want about a politician, and perspective does matter, right? And again, that Senator Santorum example is a great example. So what do you do, right? Do you vote for him or not for him? Well, it depends on where animal welfare and versus animal rights issues come out in your spectrum. I know how I hope you do that. I was glad to see him leave the United States Senate. But by the same token, when we lost him, you have to understand what you're losing there as well. We lost critical votes that it took till Senator Toomey to replace, and he was a weak, weak replacement. He was nowhere near the kind of legislator that Santorum was in 99% of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
But test what you actually hear against what is reality. And the same thing goes, like, you know, I mean, use the same skepticism about the media in general.
Every single aspect of our life. Andrew, you're back. Maybe Andrew's back.
Yeah, the phone keeps overheating because we're having major global boiling here in the UK. For some reason, my phone thinks it's too hot. Your subjects are too hot for my phone.
I think that the hot subject that we're going to close with and then probably move on in the next half of the program, but I you know, as much as I talk about the erosion and what the USDA is doing to erode our food system, what the EPA has done in the past week to try to erode food and fuel, I sense that what the Biden administration and what Congress is allowing to happen, and when I say Congress in this sentiment, I'm talking about the Senate and the House, is allowing to happen in the violation of Title IX and the ability to keep women as part of women instead of what is taking place. That's going to be the boiling point. And I see that building and festering right now in a way that I haven't seen anything build and fester. That's the real core of where we're headed with the challenges going forward. Jay Truitt, Andrew Henderson on the road in the UK. We will take a break before I let you go. I want to remind you about what I believe to be the most important element in your diet on a daily basis. That is nitric oxide. I can't tell you how many people on a regular basis send me a note and say, I had this issue, I had that issue, I had a foot tingling, I had a lack of circulation. And thanks to Dr. Nathan Bryant and the nitric oxide supplement that I take on a daily basis, we got that fixed. NO2U.com. That's nitric oxide, NO, number two, letter U, NO2U.com. If you don't take my word for it, just go to the website and watch the videos that Dr. Nathan Bryant has put forth, and you'll understand this is something you should do on a daily basis. It's about building your immune system, your health, and your cardiovascular. Everything stems from the cardiovascular. One more time, NO2U, number two, letter U, .com. And if you'd like to get free shipping, put Trent as your coupon code. We're back with the second half of Roll Route after this. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis alongside Jay Truitt, Andrew Henderson. You got a good signal now, Andrew. Apparently no.
I hope so. It's No.
Well, there's a significant delay, but you got anything else on your mind?
No, you carry on. I'm listening.
Okay, we got nothing else. We're going to break the show off at halftime here today.
Right. Yeah, no, that's I was just thinking. So now Andrew really just has a front seat as like that person that gets the comment live instead of hitting the keyboard. He just goes like, hey, no, you are an idiot, Jay.
Yeah.
You know,
okay. So, Jay, this is another part of the festering, but not
How can you put, hang on, wait a minute, Jay, how do you predict that was so accurate? That was exactly what was going through my head when you said it.
See?
That was incredible. How you predicted that?
Perfect. So, speaking of the National Cattlemen, they had a legislative session in D.C. 2 weeks ago, I think, Jay. And, oh, my goodness, with all of the challenges that we have in the beef infrastructure, maintaining it, continuing to explain to the people how beef cattle improve the environment and improve human health, all of these issues that we need to be focused on, I heard everybody coming out of the legislative conference in D.C. talking about, we got to get our place in the farm bill. We got to get this farm bill through. My goodness, let the farm bill go away. I am so tired of hearing about the farm bill. And it's now they're talking about when it comes to fruition, it's going to be a $1.4 trillion farm bill. What? We do not need a farm bill. Kill it.
Yeah, and this discussion that somehow or another that we have permanent law in the United States, which is a lie. Anytime somebody says that there's permanent law that does X, Y, and Z, there's every law can be changed. You can simply pass a bill that just strikes through the implementation date of a piece of legislation and you kill it. But there is a law on the books, right, that's been there since 1948, and it was passed without expiration. What we pass every 5 years is just a new sunset clause to modifications of that original bill. But I honestly, I just kind of believe you're right. It has become a a means by which people try to package all this stuff up in some great big comprehensive deal, and we're going to revisit it every 5 years, and that way nobody has to make permanent and lasting decisions. I'd almost prefer that we just constantly make the right decision instead of every 5 years try to make the perfect one. And I think you're right. There's a lot of things going on at USDA that probably could be handled elsewhere better by other entities, primarily at state level operations. But it also is the vehicle that funds most of the nutrition programs, a lot of the school lunch mechanism, it does, et cetera, those things. And until states revolt, we're going to keep doing that. And so if we're going to do that, then now you're talking about the food system, then we end up doing the rest of it. But that's how we get, that's how we implement in real sneaky ways, 30 by 30, right? I mean, that's the
happening every day.
It's not even really sneaky anymore. It is how we implement 30 by 30, by doing all the random conservation programs. And we're going to lure you into the system because we'll say, hey, you want to build a pond? How about if we just pay for you to do that?
Andrew, we only get bits and pieces of what you're saying. Jay, the thing that you said that I want to echo, and that's where we're at, until the states revolt. I mean, okay. I walked through this EPA situation on across the pond earlier today, and I know you caught that, not that all of our Roll Rot listeners did, but we have the US EPA once again trying to supersede its authority over the state in this particular situation about small butcher shops. And how they're trying to basically incur a cost to these small butcher shops that makes it unfeasible for them to continue. And the states are just saying, oh, well, we're just going to stay out of it. In fact, Jay, I called my director of agriculture yesterday in the state of Nebraska and shared with her my concerns. She said, Trent, I knew that this proposed rule was out there and that they're waiting on the final part of this proposed rule. But she said, you're the first person to call me. I'm the first person to call and say, this is a problem.
Yeah. It literally is just a matter of, I think we got lulled somewhere in our history. We got lulled into a sense of security that somehow or another, a republic that functioned through a series of democracies at the state level, right. Or various charters, didn't require our nearly nonstop participation, and it really does require active participation. If you're silent, you are a supporter of whatever it is that you don't like. Being silent is the same as being a supporter. And so people either have to acknowledge that and accept that, and we get. You know, I sat here when y'all started this morning, that you started the program this morning. I'm reading about these Columbia students that are, you know, held up and that they're holding the college hostage, et cetera, et cetera. You know what they're doing that we're not?
They're showing up and being heard.
Yeah,
they're exercising their rights of veterans protected for them.
Right, exactly, right. And they may be idiots. Right. But the truth of the matter is they're being heard today, and they're being heard because they're willing to actually jump out and participate in the system. And it, you know, we can spend all the time we want on social media and on some crazy listserv. I'm on a bunch of them. Right. I even send stuff out on them. But at the end of the day, you have to actually look a member of Congress or your local senators and representatives or your city council or your district attorney or whatever it happens to be. You have to take a few minutes, go have a cup of coffee with them, look them in the eye and say, and calmly say, hey, fundamentally, you're just wrong. And here's what I think that you need to do. If you care enough about your grandkids, you'll do it. If you don't, you won't. And it's really as simple as that.
And don't forget the power of what happens in an election season, because, you know, far too many of these members of the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate go to DC and hibernate until election season again, campaign right. season. And now you have the, because they show up, they will show up now. And now you have yep. the opportunity. And if somebody in Dundee County, if Senator Pete Ricketts hears something in Dundee County, and then all of a sudden he hears it in Cummings County, and then he hears it in Holt County, all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, there's something going on here. I've heard this three times now. You have yeah. to exercise that right.
Yeah. Attorney General John Ashcroft told me one time, we were having a conversation about how what makes people act. And he said, Jay, if you get three spam phone calls during the day, you don't think anything about it. If you get three of them in an hour mm-hmm. and they're all about the same source and they're during supper, you pay attention. Now yeah. you want to stop spam calls. And he goes, the idea that is literally that if you want to engage in the process, you got to understand how the process reacts to you as well. Listen, if you're going to go in screaming and hollering and calling people names and you're a really abrasive personality, you're probably not the best person to do those in-person visits. You're not going to get what you want most of the time. But that's why you keep going back never endingly.
Relentless. Right?
The first person. Yeah.
Speaking of being relentless, you and I are on a, we'll call it a listserv, where a mm-hmm. friend was sending some videos of these riots. I don't know. They're not riots yet at this point. Aggressive demonstrations
yeah.
that are spilling over outside of the campus. What you made some observations about how people in the comments are seemingly getting it. Kind of walk us through yeah. that scenario.
Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting that, like, if you go back in time 2 years ago and somebody would say, if you were to be critical of Black Lives Matter, Antifa, even a white nationalist, et cetera, whatever the environment that you're making those comments in, you would get some pretty harsh pushback. Hey, you need to get on board. You need to be part of the team. You need to be this, that, or the other. And that seems to be going away. I think my perception is I see more people that are willing to just literally stop and say, hey, listen, because the government said it didn't make it so, because the mainstream media is trying to favor a particular protest doesn't make it so. Just because some church endorsed it doesn't make it so. And they're going and they're beginning to find that what I call the ration bone in their brain, right? That sets and tells them, hey, listen, this just doesn't make common sense. Something is wrong. Something is awry. And I'm going to be more, it's not that we're even really being more skeptical. I just think we're being more realistic. For the first time in a long time. And a lot of people don't agree with me about that, but I see it. And you can see it in social media if you really look through and take the time not to read the headline, not to see the original post, but go down and see what people's responses are. Sometimes you'll be disappointed. Sometimes you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Which lobe is the ration bone located in the brain? Because I wasn't aware that there was a bone in the brain. I thought the brain was inside of a bone.
Yeah, no, it's in my brain, it's right by the ham bone. And that's connected to the neck bone.
You have a ham bone in your brain?
We're going to get most mornings. That's
I have a Boston butt bone in my brain. Roll route. When Andrew is struggling, we'll continue to forge ahead with Jay Truitt, Trent Luce. I think Andrew will find a spot. He'll be able to get back to us in the last segment. It is that time of year where farmers have dirt disease. Part of that dirt disease includes protecting the crops from pests. And in this case, the pests are insects and plants. Apache sprayers bring efficiency to minimizing those pests like no other. And the service, particularly from Simpson Farm Enterprises, is absolutely the gold standard. Details at simpsonfarm.com for the Apache Spurs. Last segment, Roll Route, Jay Truitt, Trent Luce, maybe Andrew Hefford. Welcome back, Jay Truitt, alongside Andrew, struggling with phone overheating and who knows what else Andrew's struggling with today. You know, he just hasn't been the same since we told him that London was the belly of the beast of all evil. I mean, he's just kind of been distant.
I think he took it personal, but I can't help it. Truth hurts. So,
you know, I have been through the years. This dates back. Actually, this whole discussion started with Paul Slayton. We were talking about Paul and Pennsylvania Cattlemen, Pennsylvania Beef Council back in the day. And Paul and I spent a lot of time talking about how screwed up the USDA school nutrition program was in 2005. It's only gotten worse. We see the USDA once again last week making it even worse yet. And so, Jay, I took that as a challenge to go visit with states and to go visit with actual school systems. And there are a couple examples in Pennsylvania, by the way, where the school said, we don't care about your USDA stipend that comes along with these school nutrition programs. We're going to feed these kids as we see fit. From an education standpoint, I know that CRT is a problem. I know that pornography in the library is a problem. But when we don't feed kids properly, and we continue to remove fat and protein from their diet, they do not learn. And then the next thing it is, they get some drug given to them, Ritalin or something else, because Johnny's not paying attention in class. Well, of course, Johnny's not paying attention in class because he's nutritionally starving.
And
until states stand up and say no more, this is going to continue.
Yeah, literally, he's, well, number one, Johnny may just be an active little boy too, but the reality is that what you say is completely true. And we all know this, right? To test yourself in this respect, find that proper balance of a diet for about a week and test yourself mentally. And you'll see it for yourself. I can, you know, maybe when I was 30 years old, you know, my brain could kind of compensate in different ways. But now that I'm 60 years old, I can sense it, right? You can sense it. And I think what you said is completely true. We've been doing this. Here's the problem with the government's management of this whole thing, like in nutrition, is that there's people in the room making the decision that care. So let's not pretend like they're wicked, horrible humans. But to them, this is all one giant long experiment.
Yeah, it is.
And they're willing to like continually test their theory, and they're doing it now by holding on to the end of the whip. That the far end of the whip is your child, right? The part that cracks and snaps and pops at the far end of that bullwhip is a kindergartner, right? That's 5 years old, and their parents are being told that they need to eliminate most of the protein in their diet in exchange for some kind of modified carbohydrates. They're being fed nothing but carbohydrates and processed foods through the system because we still have the lowest bidder wins the day kind of an attitude about food in the U.S. And lo and behold, you're basically creating a system where your kids are willingly, because you spoke for them and from a permission standpoint, you gave the school permission to control their diet. In a lot of cases, two meals a day.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Two out of three meals a day.
I don't know what just happened, but it was a celebration for those of you on the radio. Jay had balloons going everywhere. I don't know.
No, Andrew, they're outside the window.
Jay, so, we were talking about, you know, states must rebel and we need to be resilient. Andrew is resilient. He's fighting through all of these challenges and being with us today. And now I think he just left again.
He's worked pretty hard to be on the program this morning. You have to give him an A for effort.
Yeah.
We love you, Andrew.
Andrew, are you with us? I take that as a no. Yeah. He's gone.
Yeah.
I really wanted his perspective to know if is this, I can't believe with everything that we know today that it's all a global challenge. You know, we have the immigration issue in the UK. We have the immigration issue. Oh my goodness. I saw somebody that set me off this morning. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I wonder if the school nutrition is the same in the UK and all of the Western world to try to diminish the learning abilities of these kids.
Yeah. I've been in 36 countries to work at some point on food issues. Right. And the interesting thing is that I think by far the United States and Canada probably are the two places that will experiment the most on our children. Everyone else seems to play it safer.
Mm.
I've been highly critical of the European Union, right, over their food policies and how they actually go about it. But there are a couple things that they do better there than here. And one of them is that they look for a simpler diet for kids in school lunch programs and nutrition programs, right? They're not interested in all the complex carbohydrates and the highly processed foods. They're willing to just give you a piece of meat, a potato, and some green vegetables, and maybe a carrot or two, right, kind of thing. And we just don't, that's not what we do.
No, it isn't. And despite the science, I mean, they reject the science that they're presented. And I know for a fact they're presented the science regularly.
Oh,
it's kind of like the Farm Bill. They get together every 5 years and determine what's new in nutrition. I got news for you. Nothing new in human nutrition since my grandfather was born in 1918.
The real reality is that the Nutrition Commission, the commission that actually sets all of that for the program, and those people that participate in that process, it's almost a never-ending conversation.
Oh yeah.
They meet constantly and review stuff and have meetings constantly. The Farm Bill really is just it's when they get their money. They actually pass their legislative changes even separately from that to change what's mandated in the system through the School Lunch Act or the Child Nutrition Act, whatever it may, Child Nutrition Act, I think is what the actual name of the legislation is. And it's on a slightly different schedule. But when we just pump money at this thing and then we turn around and go, oh, but we just want to actually feed our kids whatever is going to be the lowest bidder. Right.
Yeah, that encourages me. We feed our kids a low cost ration just like we do livestock. Ration is better.
So exactly, and again, that's always been my criticism is that we've lost our sense and we're using our kids basically in the same way that you would test one pen of cattle against another. And say, well, you know what, we're going to increase the alfalfa and we're going to decrease the selenium in this ration and we're going to increase something here and change the protein to fat ratio in the other one. And let's just see what happens, right? Well, those are animals. It's one thing to do that to our kids, grandkids, and the people that we care the most about. I mean, literally, that they're the people that take up the most time in our capacity to actually care, and we just dismiss it and go like, well, you know, the school wouldn't want to do anything that would hurt us. Well, they are, though. And it's back to, you made the point about Title IX and those sorts of things, right? I actually believe the reason Title IX is gaining traction, this discussion about these rights, et cetera, is literally because people see the cultural break that is occurring in the country. And mm-hmm. we should include in that things related to nutrition. and stop. And again, so go back in your whole history. How many times has the government told you something that actually turned out to be accurate? So why would you lean on them to be your primary source of information?
They can't even tell us what time it is accurately, because we don't now know if it's, you know, 8 o'clock a.m. or 9 o'clock a.m. Depends on where you're at. It's daylight savings time out. No, wait, let's cut an hour off the end of the day, put on the beginning of the day and tell you we got an extra hour. I mean, even that's like a lot.
Somehow or another, we made the sun come up at a different time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I get it, the government policy is always a bit of a test, right? You don't really know how something's going to, you don't know if you're going to fall off a bike until you get on it and you ride it or try to ride it, right? And sometimes you get really good at it, but that doesn't mean you don't wreck. And so I don't mean to be critical, like to the point that you just throw the baby out with the bathwater here, but on things that matter, when we were dealing with COVID, there were people that started from day one saying, hey, listen, this has all been twisted somehow. And 90% of the people initially just ignored those voices and fell straight into and believed what Anthony Fauci was saying from a podium. And it turns out that almost everything he told us was actually incorrect.
And yet we still pay him.
And we're going to pay him into perpetuity, right?
Yeah, we are.
A pretty good retirement, too, like about 400 and something grand a year. And so, let's learn. And we know that the nutrition programs, while they put food in kids' bellies, there is one tier. There's a tier of the population that has been hungry. And it's sad that we have hungry people in the United States. Not every kid came to school and had proper nutrition before they came to school. And some cases, it wasn't an option. People were doing the best they can. I understand that. And us trying to address that, that's a compassion level. But then we brought them to school and we gave them some kind of modified Hot Pocket thing, right? Or oatmeal that really didn't have any oats in it. It was more everything else that you could possibly stick in there besides oatmeal, just trying to con them into eating it. And we, again, I will say this, right? And as critical as I've been, the Europeans do some things a little better, and that may be one of the things.
Jay's going to start talking about Europeans being better. We're out of time. That's just how it is. For Jay Truitt, Andrew Henderson, who tried his best, I'm Trent Luce.
He did.
Reminding you that all roads do lead to a roll route. Hey, before I let you go, speaking of proper nutrition, certified Piedmontese, it's 100% Great Plains beef, and it is 100% tender. You don't need to go to the store. We deliver the tender beef to the door. CPBeef.com.